Well, all right, so much for that preparation time. Thanks for the Pocono support. I appreciate that. I'm grateful to be here. I'd like to thank the committee for asking me to share. I'm nervous. I don't want to be competing with fireworks and motorcycles and stuff because I really, you know, it's not easy to share, but I'm real glad it's a dark, kind of dark meeting. It makes it a little bit easier than I have to see how everybody's looking and stuff. And that has a lot to do with actually probably what I, you know, if I think about when I was asked to speak, which was last night, I got this topic, I started thinking, you know, what do I really want to say about it? And I think for me, you know, I've been afraid, like intimacy, from what I understand, is about being who I am in front of you, like not trying to be somebody else, trying to be honest about who I am in front of you. And that's been hard for me since I can remember. I know that I have no, you know, way, nobody else I hold responsible, but I could say that in doing step work, I look back and from my earliest memories, I didn't ever feel that like unconditional love or approval. I always felt separate or not good enough. I'm not saying why, I don't even know why. Like this guy was sharing this afternoon on the first, second, and third step, he was talking about, you know, for no apparent reason, just out of the blue, you know, he's with all these people who love him, and just suddenly he thinks like everybody doesn't like him anymore. And like I've had that going on, and I've come to believe in the process of my recovery that that's a real huge part of my addiction, part of the disease of addiction for me. I know that, you know, it started long before I ever picked up a narcotic or a drug of any sort, you know, not including food, which I picked up pretty early. But, you know, it started like a long time ago, trying to be what you wanted me to be, whatever that was, and trying to figure out what it was that you wanted me to be, because I didn't really care who I was. I just wanted your love. I just wanted you to like me. That's all I wanted. And so intimacy wasn't really anything I had really ever experienced because I didn't, there wasn't too many times where I felt like I just was loved and accepted for who I was because I didn't show you who I was. I didn't even know who I was. So I know when I first got introduced to using, you know, substances, it was real. I found it to be a solution for this problem I felt. I felt this problem of being separate and disconnected from everybody and fearful that y'all weren't going to like me or weren't going to approve of me and now I was going to suffer this, like, you know, just my biggest fear was always just, you know, humiliation or embarrassment or exclusion or rejection. I had felt those things really, like, exquisitely painfully when I was younger. I was real sensitive. So I was always on guard against that, and I know that I hated that I was so sensitive and so frightened. I hated that about myself, and I know that when I first started using substances, I felt it seemed like a solution. Like I felt more confident. I felt more. I felt like I was funnier and more entertaining and more confident, and it was like people wanted to be around me. They were laughing, and you know, and I just felt like it seemed to be the thing that was going to help me be the me that you were all going to accept. And I got that lesson, whether it was true or not, doesn't really matter, because I interpreted it as the truth. And I went from there. It didn't stay that way forever, but I did, you know, like for me, the way it went when I used was, you know, at first it seemed like a help to help me become more social and help me in my relationships, because I wasn't quite as terrified, you know. After a while, like, you know, I ended up, like, I never meant to use quite so much as I did. Like, even just early on, like, I, you know, we'd go to keg parties, and so, I mean, when I was a kid, and we just, and I never meant to do quite that much, but, like, if a little was good, I felt like a lot was going to be better. And ultimately, even before I became really, you know, enslaved to the disease of addiction, even in the very beginning, I overused. And by the end of the night, I was separated again because I would get either paranoid or, you know, I would get so whacked and so high that I couldn't really communicate with you anyway. But by that time, I didn't care that much anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I had, it wasn't as much of a priority. I didn't feel that exquisite pain of being alone, you know? So that seemed to be the solution for quite some time, you know? And I have to say that, you know, that went on, you know, the disease of addiction affected my relationships in a lot of ways. All of my relationships, my total self-centeredness, because it was all always about me. It was always all about me. When I was younger, it was all about me. I wasn't able ever to see anybody else's point of view. It was always about just, I was looking for that fix, and the fix was just your approval. And I didn't know this about myself for a really, really long time, but, you know, looking back, that's what I discovered about myself. And I used relationships just like I use drugs, you know what I mean? And it was a lot easier for me at the time when I was younger, when I was real young and cute and all that, and I would start getting attention from guys. It was, it was a whole lot easier to get guys' approval than it was to get women's approval or girls' approval, whatever. And that started another pattern, you know what I mean, where it was just, I didn't have to work so hard. Like, the girls, I felt like when I was young and stuff, like, I felt like they were either threatened or they just were suspicious of me or whatever. It didn't matter what the truth was, but in my, I just felt like it wasn't as easy to get their approval. And then the guys, boy, they were easy. It's just really easy to get their approval, you know what I mean? Give them a smile, that was it. And it, I didn't understand all that because I was real young, but, like, that's the way that it felt. And the truth is it grew that way in my life, and life in many ways, it is that way. You know what I mean? It is that way. And it took me a real long time. When I was younger, even when I came to my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting in 1985, and I was, you know, I went into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, and it was all about looking for that fix in a guy, you know? And I got lots of attention and lots of, I was really able to replace, like, instead of being able to look at the, you know, I wasn't willing to take a look at the inside of, you know, the places where I felt that hole, that void, really in a deep way. Like, I kind of accepted the program on a level to the best of my ability, but I wasn't really willing to go and do that deep work. It was easier to just get the attention and that I was looking for, and it made me feel good. If I had no self-acceptance, and if you accepted me, then I was okay, and I didn't really realize that I needed to do anything else. The problem with that, however, was that as soon as you stopped accepting me, like, my world was falling apart, you know what I mean? And the truth is even if I didn't like you and you didn't accept me, I'd be whacked out about it, you know? Like, what's wrong with me, you know? Could not figure it out. And I spent, oh my God, so much time and energy trying to be everything for everyone. And at this point, like, I just, it wasn't like I was even hiding being my authentic self, because I didn't know who the hell I was. I never knew. I never gave myself the opportunity to know who I was, because I was too busy trying to get that, you know, that fix. And I didn't realize all of this was going on. It just went on automatically. And I know that when I got into recovery, like I said, in 1985, there weren't very many women in recovery then. There really weren't a lot of women. You know, still, the ratio of men to women is pretty big. I'm fortunate enough to be blessed to live in the Pocono Mountain area, where we have, you know, an awesome, awesome, you know, unity and group of women who support and love one another, and that's been my dream. But it wasn't always my dream, you know what I mean? At first I was very suspicious, I was very skeptical. I felt like it was just like women were the enemy, and it was really sad, because it's hard to accept yourself, like, when you're having, you know, it, like, I would kid myself and tell myself that I could have these relationships with guys that were platonic. And it didn't matter whether I ended up having feelings or the other person ended up having feelings. Once you get to a certain point, this intimacy, and once any intimacy began, everything got all dangled and confused. And so there was always this weirdness that went on. Today, things are a little bit different. I actually am able to have some platonic relationships, but for a long time, I wasn't able at all. I kidded myself to believe that I was able, but I really wasn't, because that was how I got all my love and attention, and I couldn't unknow that. You know what I mean? That was just the way that it was. So, you know, really, it ended up being, for me, I think ideally, in Narcotics Anonymous, you know, I hope that, you know, I like to focus on our similarities and not our differences, but I know it was really essential for me to get and develop relationships with women. And at the current state of affairs in our fellowship, it's tough because there's a lot of predatory behavior that goes on. And what that means is, like, when I was young and cute, I would come in, and because I was too afraid to get with the women, if there weren't women who were strong enough to scoop me up, the men would be right there to do it. And not to say, like, it doesn't work. It works both ways. It's not just men. I'm not saying that. But, like, sometimes I think that I'm not the only one that confuses intimacy and relationships and stuff. Like, most of us, from what I've heard shared at meetings, we struggle with knowing, you know what I mean? Knowing how do we have a relationship with one another, and what's a healthy relationship if we've never had a healthy relationship with ourselves. So, you know, I ended up, you know, having a lot of struggles with relationships. They took me out the doors. You hear people say it here, you know, I can't remember what they say, but it's one of those things that everybody chants in the little, you know, in the convention things, where they talk about relationships are the hardest thing or whatever it is. And, you know, the intimation is that, you know, relationships can take you out. And I don't know if it's the relationships that can take you out, but I know that for me, looking for that missing part of myself in another human being, it didn't work out for me. You know what I mean? And I don't think we're the only ones that do it just because we're addicts. I mean, I think that, and I'm not saying you all do it either, but I know I'm not the only one, because I've talked to some people and I've heard some people. Like, I know I'm not the only one that's had that experience. And I don't think that, you know, as addicts, we're alone in that either. Our whole culture supports that whole idea that you're not a whole and complete person unless you're partnered up with somebody. And it was a really long, long process for me, to be willing to get an intimate relationship with myself, you know, before I ended up having any success in relationships with anybody else. And it started, my best relationship teachings started with my sponsor. You know, my sponsor taught me an incredible amount. She taught me so much about, like, when she met me, I mean, I had used over relationships. I'd gone out and relapsed. I'd been clean 7 years and gone out and used. I had had a really hard time coming back in. I was whacked out. Like, I just had no, I could come into the fellowship again in Narcotics Anonymous after being gone for 3 years and really replace, you know, everything about drugs. Like, I didn't, you know, I could replace that with relationships, because I got just as nutty with that stuff. But, you know, coming back in, I was, you know, I had my ass kicked, and I was willing to just listen to anybody who was going to help me. And thank God, you know, I didn't even believe at this time my relationship with my God was completely, like, severed and screwed over, because I had, once I had come into this program and experienced the freedom and the love and the good things that it had to offer, despite how twisted and contorted I had gotten them, like, having that experience and then a lot, you know, and then separating myself again, you know what I mean? And allowing myself to go out and use, I had to, in my mind, you know, sever my relationship with God. I couldn't do it. I couldn't use knowing there was, so I had to tell myself there was no God. So that was the way that went. And that, you know, the disease is very sneaky in that way. My sponsor has taught me that, you know, the disease of addiction is always trying to separate me from you. Always. And that's been one of the most helpful things that she ever taught me, because I can go into a Narcotics Anonymous meeting and, you know, it doesn't matter whether I think you're, you know, better than me, or whether I think you think you're better than me, or whether, you know, I think that I'm less than you. What, it doesn't matter. I can make 100 reasons why I'm going to judge you because you don't believe what I believe, or most of the time it's because I think you're judging me. So I'll say some shit about you. You know, I won't actually say it, but I'll think it. And it doesn't matter if I say it or I think it. It doesn't matter. It's the same amount of energy. I'm separating myself from you, and you are the very people who are going to save my life, you know. And most of the time, the things that are going on are just out of fear anyway, you know. I get in that total self-centered mode, you know, like that guy was saying this morning, where I can just be in here, everything's going fine, then suddenly the self-centered fear just comes in out of nowhere, and everybody, you know what I mean, is talking about me. They're all talking about me. You know, it's just, and it's an amazing, amazing amount of fear that I have experienced with that. This time in recovery, you know, I worked with a sponsor and I learned a lot about it. You know, she God bless her, because she stuck with me through all kinds of stuff. I got into a relationship. I was 6 months clean. Anyway, which was probably the longest I'd gone, right? I went 6 months. I thought that was enough. And, you know, and God bless her, because she stuck with me. And, like, we all have our own process and we grow at our own rate in here. I've been learning that relationships for me are like, all of my relationships are like, my sponsor taught me that to look at it like they're lessons from my higher power, you know. All of the people that are in my life are assignments, you know. The people who I sponsor, the people who you know, are my teachers, are my sponsors, are my, you know, significant others, my friends, my mother, you know, all these people, they're coming to teach me a lesson. And most of the time, it's really not comfortable. Most of the time, you're kicking up my shit, you know. And I want to be comfortable and happy and feel good all the time. And relationships aren't about that. And when they're not, like, I used to just run away. I used to just get out of here. If it wasn't working, I'd be out of here. You know, I'd be, and I didn't lick that off the grass either. You know, my family, you know, I got a little bit of that going on. You know, I got taught some things about, you know, you just walk away. And I'd start over. You know, I'd screw up with the friendship because, you know, you do these screwed up things when you were using and stuff, and I would screw up and shame myself or some sort of way where I couldn't face it. I'd fucking move before I'd be able to, you know, come back and deal with that and face that and try to repair that. If relationships involved any work, I didn't have any faith or any confidence in being able to put the effort in to make it happen. So at this point, you know, I'm in this process with my sponsor developing a relationship. It took a long time. I was really desperate because, like I said, I had been clean for 7 years, and that's a whole nother story. I got a really long story. And that's a whole recovery and relapse meeting, which we won't get into here. But, you know, it was years of just doing basic stuff, working really closely with a sponsor to try to get my relationship back with myself and with my God. It took a long time. And those were the things, like, and with the relationship with her, it wasn't like I trusted her right away, but I was alone trying to figure it out by myself, and I was so clear how incapable I was of figuring this shit out. So I got on my knees, despite the fact that I didn't even believe in any kind of God, let alone one that's going to demand that I get on my knees. Well, I was desperate, so I didn't care. I just, you know, screamed out to the universe, like, please send me some help. And you know, that's a little bit longer of a story because it'll get me off track, but I got an awesome response in my sponsor who just happened to move to my area. And she taught me so, so much about relationships. Like, and she and I have been through quite a bit, actually, too. Like, it's just, I'm learning to be honest. And, like, all these things, like honesty, communication, like, oh, my God, it's just, it's a lot of work because I never did it. You know what I mean? It just seems impossible and so painful and so difficult because I'd never done it in my whole life and I was terrified. But the step process helped me become willing to take the risks. Like when I did my fourth step, I found out that, like, I wrote my fourth step and when I did I wrote my fourth step, and everything seemed really different. I mean, I said my prayers, and I wrote all these different things. I wrote on all these different topics and everything. When I sat down to do my fifth step with my sponsor, pretty much every single page was just approval seeking, you know what I mean, seeking acceptance. I used to call it people please. There was a lot of nice names I had for it for a long time, but the exact nature I got down to was approval seeking, because it doesn't sound good, and it doesn't make me sound cool, and it wasn't anything I could want to hold on to, you know what I'm saying? But the exact nature was that that's what I needed. I needed your approval. Otherwise, I could not accept myself. And that was really hard. Like, it was devastating for me to face that. And when I got into my sixth and seventh step, that was the large majority of it. I went through huge, God almighty, the way God gives you opportunities to work through the defects. Like, it wasn't fun. It was not fun. But in sticking and staying and working with a sponsor and persevering and not using, I was able to get to a point where, I can tell you, I got some huge freedom in my life from seeking your approval. Now, that is not to say that I wasn't nervous to come up here. Like, whenever I'm in a place where I feel, if there's one person that I think, if I hear people talking, people who judge, people who talk about other people, I don't even like being around them. I do not feel safe revealing my innermost self to them. That's just the way it is. Because I feel like if you're talking about other people, you're talking about me too. And I still have that memory of that little girl who was so vulnerable and so, like, just, I was just so, you know, I was just so delicate and just needy and, you know, had no idea how to be strong and how to love myself. I just had no idea. But my sponsor began to teach me some things, these steps, these meetings, being honest, you know what I mean, taking the masks off, taking the risk. I took the risk with my sponsor first, and that paved the way for a lot of the other relationships in my life. I ended up, my relationships with women are tremendously important to me today. Most of my life, I had given up, you know, my relationships with the women in my life, friends, all that stuff, that was secondary, because I really believed that a man was the thing that was going to fix me. So I would always, you know, that was always first at that time now. And now my relationships with my family, my friends, my significant other, my all that stuff, it's all, you know, it's all important to me, you know, all of it. But I work to maintain and to work on my relationships with the women in my life, because they're the ones that I don't feel, I don't have to worry about myself or them 99% of the time. You know what I mean? 99% of the time, we don't have that funny wonder, what, you know what I mean? What if this gets weird? What if that gets weird? I don't know if anybody else has ever experienced that. But, you know, I have had that, like, when you get into some deep, you ever have those lovely deep recovery talks with somebody? You know what I mean? That's intimate shit. When you get intimate with people, and then you wonder, you know, I don't know. I used to end up with you know, a new boyfriend or something and wonder, how the hell did I get here? Like, I didn't really mean to do this. You know, but you end up with this, you know, you get into this great conversation and you think that you know everything about them, and that's the end of that. Today I'm finding out a lot. Like, it's no joke that I got, I mean, it's never a joke. Every time I ever get asked to speak here, it's always, you know, it's always such a blessing to me, because it's always right in the middle of what I'm in the, you know, what my God's got me working on. And right now, I'm right in the middle of working on all of my relationships, really. My relationship with my family, my mother, my sister, whom I blamed and resented for so long. You know, God has gifted me with, you know, working through the steps and being able to see and perceive them differently and behave differently, and enjoy and want to be and show up with my family. I used to just run away from them too. I was okay with them because I lived 150 miles away from them. You know what I mean? The closer I was to them, the less I could stand it. Intimacy scared the hell out of me. And because I felt like if I really showed you who I really, really was, I could not take it if you rejected me. I just couldn't take it. So I felt like it was a lot safer to just never really tell you who I was. Today, it's you know, I'm in a relationship Well, I mean, like I said, I got into a relationship when I was 6 months clean. I did it, and he likes to say it's a, you know, 13th step. He had 4 months clean. I had 6 months clean. And, you know, and we've been through a lot. We've been through a lot, you know. It's been through a lot of ups, a lot of downs. We lived together. You know, we were engaged. We're not engaged. It's there's all kinds of stuff. And it's I'm still in this place now where I'm still learning. I've never been married. I'm 40 years old. I've never had children. I've been afraid for a long time. There's a lot going on. I also have a minor little thing I'll throw in there for anybody else who might be able to identify with this. In that whole desperation to have a mate, I also have HIV, hepatitis, you know, a bunch of shit like that where I felt terrified that nobody would want me. You know what I mean? I felt like that I had to, you know, stay with anybody who would, you know, who I was with because nobody else was going to want me. And that was another big thing. It's all fear-based. And so it doesn't really matter what the details are. You know, when I started working the steps, it worked for me. You know, it just started working. It just started healing. And now we're in a place now where, you know, like just trying to be honest and negotiate, to really try and figure out, like we finally gotten to a point where we're both beginning to figure out who we are separately and what we want and all this stuff. Like, I've never done this. Like, it's still hard for us to communicate. We still expect that, you know, the other one should read our minds, you know what I mean, and know, well, you should have known that this is what I was thinking or this is what I wanted. And it's not an easy thing. Like, it's a really, and it's in this society, it's a really hard thing to say. You know, I'm 40 years old, and I think, okay, it's not, he's not my husband, it's not. When they said on the speaker release tape, they said something that they wanted to know, who's your emergency contact, and what is their relationship to you? You know what I mean? And it's like, okay, well, here he is, and I don't know what he is. You know what I mean? He's my friend. I love him. You know, it's the labels make it really hard. But for me, in recovery, I've learned that, like, I don't want to lie anymore. I don't want to just jump into some crap that I think is going to fix me and find out years later that it wasn't going to work. And most of our, I heard a couple people saying today, you know, relationship, their relationship, their intimate relationship is just for today. And, you know, and that's how we're living right now. We're taking on that shit that's so uncomfortable. Like, we're meeting on a weekly basis right now talking about our relationship. And it's just, you know, it's just, I don't, you know, I still don't want to do it. You know what I mean? It was so much, like, what our habit was over the last, you know, 8 years we've been together was that we'd everything would be great and groovy. And, like, we wouldn't, you know, we'd let a couple things slide when things happened. We'd have a resentment here, a resentment there, didn't think of that. Then all of a sudden something happens, and all this shit came up because we swept shit under the rug and we never really talked about it, you know? Because I don't want to. It's uncomfortable. I don't like doing it with anyone, you know? But I'm learning to do that with my family, my sponsor, my friends, and, you know, and now with him. You know, we're learning to do that. And the truth is, I know that the quality of my relationships is up to me. You know, it used to be that if relationships weren't working out, whether it was a friend or a sponsor or even my family or a lover or whatever it was easy for me to just say, well, you're not the right one, or you know, to put all of the responsibility on you, or even say maybe it was me too, but never be willing to look at my part, and I'd just walk away, and I'd end up meeting the same damn people with a different face. Because the way that my God works in my life is that all of the people that come into my life are like assignments from God, and they're going to bring to me my stuff in 3D neon. You know what I mean? They're going to kick up my shit, and if I am not, it's all opportunities for me to become willing to learn who I am, to learn how to communicate. When I first got here, I believed that I could do this recovery program like a self-study thing all by myself. You know, and that's a whole other area which I don't have time to get into, but the we of the program is just as essential. The fellowship is as essential as the program. They're one and the same. They're both as important as the other. There's neither one is more important. because you know what? I can't work these steps by myself. So, you know, it's all of the wonderful, you know, I have the most awesome relationships in my life today that I ever could have imagined. And it isn't always easy, but it's a lot easier now than it used to be. You know, when I first started, it seemed like it was just such a pain in the ass. It was just so hard. It was just like not worth it. It's so worth it now. The people in my life are beginning to really know, like, they know who I am. All the time before, I was pretending to be who you wanted me to be, so who you loved was never me anyway, you know? And now being able to be who I am and learn who I am and be that with you and show you who that is, maybe you won't love me or maybe you won't like me, but at least, you know what I mean, it's me. And then there's always going to, like, my God has shown me that there's always going to be people who do love me, you know, enough to get me by. You know, maybe not the ones that I thought should or would, you know, whatever, but you know what? There's always enough love to go around. And that's been my fear, that there never was enough. So I feel the love. I love coming to this retreat. I feel the love, like, tremendously in this whole retreat center. We've met some people here that have touched my life and touched my heart tremendously. You know what I mean? We try to get up here this is something we do together. You know what I mean? We come up together and like we've met a lot of people from here. We come up and like have these intimate relationships and get to know one another and try to reveal more of who we are and learn more about you guys, you know. But it's always a blessing, and I get so much out of it, and I thank you for listening. That's all I have to share. Thanks, Devin. I would like to introduce the second speaker, Chris B., from Friday Night Group of NA in the, I'm going to say this wrong, L.M. Hania area of NA? Okay.
Hi, everybody. I'm Chris. I'm an addict. I too am nervous about this right now. First time ever speaking at a Unity retreat or anything like this. Thank you. Yeah, if I tend to go down, let me know. I'm not really sure there's much else to say. Devin really did a good job covering relationships and intimacy. I was asked to do this a couple months ago, and I thought, why would anybody want to hear that? Because I didn't hear intimacy and relationships. I heard sex and romance. So if you're here for that, you might want to try to find somewhere else. This topic really makes me think about steps and traditions. Steps are what helped me, or are helping me, to become intimate. Traditions is what I can apply in my relationships with other people. I don't know, before I got into the program, like, all my relationships were based on what can you do for me. Whether it's, can you keep giving me money? Can you help me get my drugs? Can you help me feel superior so I don't feel as bad about myself? Can you help validate me because my self-worth is so low, it's not even funny? I needed that. I couldn't survive. I was afraid of everything. When I came into the program, people showed me that I didn't have to do that. The fellowship really reached out to me. I apologize. I wanted to take time to thank anybody that helped set up the Unity Retreat, anybody that volunteered for what they've done, and if anybody's a newcomer, keep coming back. I'm amazed at how it's turning out for me, and I can't even imagine there's a limit on that. When I got into the program, I still was afraid of everything. I was lucky enough to hook up with a couple guys in the fellowship. I came out of rehab. It was nowhere in the NA text that you shouldn't have a relationship for the first year. But I was given that suggestion in rehab, and for some reason, I felt like I had to follow through on it. I think I knew then that I had relationship addiction, codependency, caretaker, whatever you want to call it, behaviors. And I didn't know how I could even take care of myself until, well, I didn't know how I could help take care of somebody else until I took care of myself. That first year of recovery was really amazing in terms of learning how to be intimate and comfortable more with myself. People told me I should do things for myself that I would enjoy. And I looked at them and said, what the hell would that be? I had to think about what other people did to me that I really enjoyed. I had to think about past relationships, like getting a present, going out to dinner, going to movies, getting a card. Just those simple things in relationships that I really enjoy. I tried it. I'd mail myself cards. I'd leave them out for me. And it was amazing. I'd get home, open it up, and I'd forget that I completely wrote it. And it helped build something inside of me that showed me that there was something inside of me that was worthwhile. That I deserved to be able to love myself, because I never felt that way. When I first came in, I saw that look in people. I saw that they had self-worth, that they had confidence, that they weren't afraid, that they were able to be vulnerable. And I didn't know how to do any of that. I still am trying to learn how to do that. Luckily, I had a counselor that really helped me out understand codependency a lot more. I had to look back on my past relationships and see where I was hurting myself trying to help somebody else. Because of what Devin was talking about, that approval seeking, that validation, I couldn't give myself any of that. I didn't know who I was, where I was at, and I didn't really care, because if you liked me, I didn't have to think about it. If I focused on helping you out, I didn't have to think about what are my problems, what are Chris's problems, how can he get better. That first year really helped me out with that. I got a sponsor, first meeting I got to out of rehab, and he helped take care of me so much. He's actually sitting in the group right now. He helped me to expand myself to the fellowship, because I wasn't willing to show anybody else that I was vulnerable or afraid or needed help. God, hell no. Look where my life had gotten me. A living hell. Why would I need help out of that? He helped break down the steps for me. I'd hang out with him all the time. He'd help walk me past the bars because I was afraid I'd trip and fall and get drunk. And it didn't happen, because I had the support that I never had before. I found that it was okay to ask for help. Still something that's really hard for me to do. It's the hardest four-letter word I know. Can you help me? With this program, the people in this program showed me that that's what I need. I need to be able to put down that bullshit pride and be honest. Sponsorship has been such an important issue in terms of my relationships. I didn't trust anybody when I first came around. Trust is still something I'm working on today. I'm learning to try to trust myself more, my feelings more a little bit. Everything I have in terms of a healthy relationship today is based on what I've done with a sponsor. Being able to reach out and call for help when I need it. Being able just to have a nice, relaxing chat about recovery, about whatever. That's helped allow me to grow and apply those things in other aspects of, or other relationships that I have. I can't stress how important it was for me to get a sponsor. If you don't have one, ask some people about it. It'll help you grow. I couldn't work through the steps without it. Like Devin had spoke about, well, working through the first three steps allowed me to help, and working on myself allowed me to develop a belief or an understanding that there is a power greater than myself. This is it right here. This is part of it for me. This group of people. They're like the fingers of my higher power that reach out to me and help me when I'm doing something wrong. They're my eyes and ears. Without that, I wouldn't know where I'm at most of the time. Because I still have a hard time trusting and listening to myself, listening to my feelings, knowing where I'm at. But anyways, working through the first three steps, I started to develop a relationship with my higher power based on working with a sponsor and working on the relationship with myself. Those are the three primary relationships I really wanted to work on for that first year. Fourth step, I balked on it for a really long time, about a year and a half, and I just put myself in misery. I was afraid because I didn't want to look at all that shit. I didn't want to look at what I was afraid of. You know, they say do the fourth step without thinking about the fifth step. That sounds great, but I know what's coming up after the fourth step. And I didn't know if I'd be able to sit there and tell somebody the fears that I have. But I was afraid of everything, basically. That was hard enough for me to accept, hard enough to sit down and write. Actually, it was more hard to think about doing it than actually doing it. When I sat down and did it, it just came out. Thinking about doing it was the hardest part. The fifth step, though, was amazing for me. It was like looking in a mirror for the first time and seeing past through all my bullshit. What I thought I had, what I didn't think I had. And I got the most honest look I had ever taken at myself. I was amazed when my sponsor actually showed me the list of character defects that he got from what I was sharing with him. And then I looked to the next column, and it was a list of character assets. And they were almost as long as the character defects, and I couldn't believe it, because I had sat down and written about my character defects. The section about my character assets, that was the hardest part for me in the fourth step, because I didn't see what was good in me. I didn't see still what was worthwhile. I didn't see what I had valid going on for me until that process. And that was a turning point for me in my recovery. I just did that a year ago. And people have told me that I've changed a lot in that year. I don't see it. I do feel more comfortable. But again, having you, the we, being able to point that out to me, that there is progress going on even when I don't see it. I need that. There's some really great literature on relationships and the NA way of life. I really like what it talks about in terms of trying to pull a higher power into a relationship. I like what it talks about in kind of treating a relationship like a home, like a group conscience. Without my higher power, I can't be honest, I can't be open-minded, I can't be willing, and those are all things I need in a relationship. Where I really started trying to apply those was my family. It's been very uncomfortable being around my family. Up until this last year, I haven't felt accepted. And I don't really think it was my family. I think it was my perspective, me still carrying that guilt and shame about the things I had done. Because in one visit, all my extended family seemed to appreciate me and like me for who I was. And it seems kind of strange to me that they all changed at the same time as opposed to me changing. And I had actually given up on it. I didn't really care anymore because I was happy with who I was at that point. They could love me, they could not love me, they could be judgmental of me. It didn't matter because through the steps, through my higher power, through us, through we, I found to love myself and accept myself for that. That's just amazing to me to even hear me say that. But it is really nice to be able to look at my family in the eye and feel that they have appreciation for me now. Spirituality, recovery, however you want to term it, has really opened up my life. I feel so grateful, so lucky to be able to sit down with anybody here and talk about spirituality and recovery. I've talked to some of my family members about it, and they are so happy when I talk to them because they don't have people to talk about spirituality with, or a higher power or something like that. My father just went through cancer, or is going through cancer. He's going through chemo and radiation right now. He had to go out to Indiana to get an operation done. instead of being paralyzed by that fear, I try to be of service to him because I didn't know what else to do. I'm in a place now that I was able to take a week off and go out to Indiana with him and be there to help him. At least that's what I thought when I was going out there. I thought I was going out there to support him and my mother. It's amazing how if I were taking a vacation with him, I would have never had the concept or the conversations I had with him. But because of the seriousness of why we were out there, him having a tumor removed, it stripped away a lot of the bullshit that I usually find myself talking about with my parents. Coffee, computer, news, whatever. And I was actually able to learn more about my parents through that process. And it's just a gift that this program's given me. I found out that I wasn't there to help them out. They were there to help me out. I just perceived it wrong. It sounds really masochistic, but I thanked my father for this experience because it helped open up my eyes in terms of more important things in life than where I was at. It helped me show how important my family really is to me. And when I say family, I used to think I had two families. I have my blood family and I have my recovery family. And I don't see that anymore. If I didn't have this family, I wouldn't be able to be there for my blood family. I know this program is just amazing at how it's helped change me. Fear, vulnerability, and keeping secrets have been the biggest problem for me to be able to even try to, have a healthy relationship with anybody, not just a girlfriend, not a lover, a sponsor, a friend. I couldn't tell you my secrets because I was afraid you'd judge me. I was afraid you'd turn them on me. I was afraid you'd make me feel pain about it. Being vulnerable, hell no. Because where I came from, if you showed an ounce of vulnerability, it was getting used against you. And fear, I couldn't accept fear. If I had fear, I had a problem and I didn't know how to deal with it. All of those things today are what I try to work on in my relationships. It was really hard for me to sit down and tell someone that I was in an intimate relationship with that I was jealous of what was going on in their lives, that another person was giving them a whole lot of attention. That's not something I did before recovery because that could get twisted against me because I didn't have trust in myself and another person and I didn't have a higher power to trust in. With those first two, though, or second two, I guess, the higher power and myself, it's a lot easier to put myself out there because I can get by. I don't have to pick up. Anything can happen and I don't have to pick up. I just went through a relationship ending about 5 months ago. And it was really painful. It was. At one point, I couldn't sleep. I went downstairs, looked at the clock, and it was 1 o'clock. And I was like, I have to do something for the next hour because the bars are open. I haven't felt that way in a long time. And I'm glad I did because that helps keep me coming back when I know that I'm that close to going back out. But I didn't have to. I don't have to pick up about anything I do today because I have this. I have we. I have a higher power that I'm learning from. I look back on that relationship and I learned a lot of lessons from it. It's funny how life on life's terms can hit you anywhere. About 2 hours ago, right when the main speaker was going on, I had a call from a friend and that they told me that this girl was pregnant. Didn't tell me how long she'd been pregnant for or anything like that. And fear was the first thing that came in. fear that it was my child, fear of how that would affect my life, because it would be really difficult to have a child with this person at this point in time. They were in recovery. They went back out. That just puts me in jeopardy right there, and trying to have to move through that brings a lot of fear out. First person I talked to was, and because I was looking for support, not even thinking about how it might affect her, because I'm self-centered. I need help. I don't know whatever anybody else needs. And I didn't take into account how it might affect her. And it hit her hard. And that was even harder for me to deal with. Luckily, I just found out that she's only been pregnant for 6 weeks or something like that. And it's amazing how quick it just comes back for me, how paralyzing that can be. But I can't think of a better place for that to have happened to me, because I'm surrounded by so much love, so much care. This program just keeps me going. I don't feel like I'm just existing anymore, waiting for it to pass by. I don't feel suicidal anymore. I love life. But that's because you guys have shown me how to love myself. And I'm able to try to give that back as much as I can today for that opportunity. Thank you, everybody.